Hello, I'm Christian, and you're listening to Inside the Cambodia Project, an educational podcast where we discuss cutting-edge research on sustainable business in an emerging market.
So last episode, I talked with Dr. Scott Webb, a BYU associate professor of global supply chain. And it was really interesting. We talked about the intricacies of logistics in a global marketplace, and he shared some really interesting experiences just personally navigating the cultural differences that you'll find working on a global basis. This episode, I have the opportunity to interview the producer of the podcast, Dr. Ben Beck, and it's going to be kind of a special episode. You'll see why in a minute. But as always, we're going to start and kick things off with a quote. This quote, I'm actually not sure where it comes from, and in fact, I could just be making it up, but I think I've heard it before, and it goes something like, "Don't tell me how much you know, tell me how many places you've been," or something like that.
That's a cool quote, even if you don't know where it came from.
Yeah. So what does that quote mean to you, Ben?
So it's funny that you asked that question, because we are in the international terminal outside of gate A15 in the San Francisco airport.
We sure are.
Waiting to get on a flight to Cambodia that leaves at 1:05 a.m. and is going to get us there, I don't know, 13 hours later. Whatever time zone it is going to be there,
right.
I have no idea.
It's a little bit much.
Yeah, so
sure.
we're recording here at the airport because, we're headed to Cambodia. We're going to launch the next phase of our research project. It's exciting. But I guess we should apologize. You may hear people going by. A janitor just barely left, but you're probably going to hear background noise, and that's just because we're in an airport.
Yep, that's part of the experience. We're letting you guys in on this.
Yes.
So Ben, can you tell us more? Why are we going to Cambodia?
Yeah, because we love to explore. Like you said, don't tell me what you learned. Tell me how many places you've been. No, I'm just kidding. As much as we love to explore. The groups giving us the grants, first of all, the groups giving us funding for this is the cyber, the Department of Education with the U.S. runs the cyber grant, CIBER, something international business, Center for International Business. I could make up the last two, but I'm probably going to offend somebody, so I won't. The cyber grant is helping pay for a lot of this project that we're doing. And then the dean's office at the Marriott School of Business at Brigham Young University is helping. They're funding you, Christian, and the few other undergraduate students that are coming with.
And we're super thankful. So yeah. A huge shout out to the Dean's Office, the Marriott School of Business,
Absolutely.
And to Cyber,
yep.
Whatever that acronym is.
I know, right? shout out to them. As much as we love to travel and as much as they want us to have cool experiences, that's what BYU is all about, cool experiences, right? And learning and growing intellectually and spiritually. We couldn't get a grant for that. So we figured we had to actually do some good with our research.
Ah,
yeah.
Dang. Imagine.
Right. So the reason we're going to Cambodia is we want to show that small businesses that engage in social good don't just benefit society and their own sphere of influence in which they work, but it will also benefit them. They'll see increased revenue. So we're going to Cambodia. We're going to go to arguably the second or third largest city in Cambodia. The census records are not fully clear on it. But the town or the city is called Siem Reap. It's where the Angkor Wat temples are. Beautiful temples. If you saw the Tomb Raider, where Angelina Jolie is going through the old temple-like buildings, there's vines all over. That's Angkor. I think that was Angkor Thom, the neighbors of Angkor Wat.
Dang, I need to catch up on some Tomb Raider.
Right? So we're going there. So anyone that's seen the Tomb Raider movies, you may recognize that. We're going to that town, and we're going to train 240 businesses on at least revenue tracking. So we kind of staggered it, and we're randomly assigning businesses to these different groups.
So are all 240 businesses getting revenue tracking?
Yeah. So all 240 businesses are going to get revenue tracking. So right now, most small businesses in Cambodia are not tracking their revenue. They are, I think you've called them survival, kind of in a survival mindset.
Yeah, survival entrepreneurs is what they're called.
Yeah.
I was reading a book called Poor Economics by Banerjee and Duflo.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a dense read, but they go into detail about these survival entrepreneurs. And basically, they're entrepreneurs by trade and not by choice. In other words, they're basically creating a job in a market that otherwise doesn't provide a job for themselves. So in many cases, these are uneducated, mm-hmm. Didn't even make it through elementary school business owners.
Yeah. Yep. And I love that you brought up that book and talked, the survival entrepreneurship is very different than a lot of entrepreneurs in the U.S. These people make money one day and they spend it that same day to put food on the table.
Right.
A lot of these businesses aren't going to have bank accounts. A lot will have bank accounts. That's a little more common in Cambodia now. But a lot won't. A lot of the business owners won't be able to read and write. So there's stark differences between small businesses in Cambodia and in the U.S. So because they're not tracking revenue, they aren't going to have the capacity to tell if they're making money. Right. So all the businesses in our training are going to get at least revenue tracking training. And then 2/3 of the businesses are also going to get marketing training on top of that. We're going to teach them some customer service principles. Like when someone comes into your shop, you smile, you use their name, you learn their name, right? Mm. Here's the difference, the benefits of putting up signage. Here's the benefits of putting pricing on your products. We're going to teach them about how to use Facebook because Facebook is very popular in Cambodia. So how can you use that for your business? So we're going to give the marketing training in that regard.
A little bit of social media training.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
And then the last 1/3, so we've kind of staggered it into three groups. The last 1/3, they're going to get that revenue training and marketing training, but they're also going to get, it's a training program from Oxfam called GAL, stands for Gender Action Learning System. But what you're really trying to do is help people set goals and vision and show them how they can attain that. And we're going to have partners and spouses come in with a small business owner and take the training together. And they're going to set household goals and business level goals.
So as a couple.
As a couple.
Okay.
And we're going to, and much of that training is focused on gender because there are huge gender disparities in the country where, sadly, there's a lot of abuse.
For sure.
And we want to help these husband and wife couples learn to work better together. And husbands realize that they can't gamble and drink the money away that their wives are working hard to earn. Or it could be vice versa, right? But we're going to teach about these gender norms, more healthy gender norms, and try to help them overcome abuse and bad patterns, set better habits as a family. And we're hoping, of course, that third group that gets all of this training will grow a lot more revenue than the other groups. Their businesses will actually perform better. And they're going to go in their communities and train other people in their communities, too. So there's what we call peer sharing upscaling or pyramidal peer upscaling is what it's sometimes called. So they're going to be taking the training we give them and they're going to give it to peer businesses and family members and friends. And we're going to keep track of that and see how many people we can help.
Almost like once you are converted, go forth and convert your brethren.
Totally. Yep.
Cool. So just to summarize then, we've got three different groups going on in Cambodia. We have the tier one group, which is just getting training on how to track the revenue.
Right.
Then we have a tier two group, which is getting how to track your revenue and how to market your business with some basic principles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then tier three group is getting how to track your revenue, how to market your business, and how to set goals with your spouse, and hopefully live harmoniously.
Exactly. Yeah. And that goal setting thing, for a lot of our listeners, goal setting is something that you do, right? It's part of your life. You're taught how to set goals. Every New Year's, you set goals and you break them by
February. From a young age.
From a young age, you're taught that. And that comes into the mindset that Americans have. So, Christian, question for you. You, for your honors thesis, you're kind of diving into the revenue tracking, and you did a pre-study where you asked some questions about fixed versus growth mindset. Can you tell our listeners a little bit what you found there?
Yeah, for sure, Ben. So, honestly, it was really interesting. A lot of the data that we got out of the pre-screening survey was it was kind of non-conclusive. There wasn't a lot of variation. It all just leaned one way or the other. Mm-hmm. However, Something that we look for when we're talking about surveys and statistical significance is things that are out of the norm. Usually if it's one or two data points, we call it an outlier and just kind of ignore it. Mm-hmm. But in the case of, we asked three questions that we put under the mindset category, looking at fixed and growth mindset. And we used a 5-point Likert scale to measure, you know, the degree to which the participants agreed or disagreed to several statements. Mm-hmm. Examples of these statements would be something like, I was born with a certain amount of intelligence, right. Something like that. Mm-hmm. And they're supposed to agree or disagree. And what we found was, in the majority of the cases, Cambodians are actually, about a 2 out of 5 on the scale, meaning that they are leaning towards the fixed mindset more than the growth mindset.
Yeah.
The reason that's significant is because it goes contrary to the trends we see in other parts of the world, such as the United States, where most of the population predominantly self-identifies as growth mindset. Whether or not that's true, you know, is another question entirely. But I think there's definitely kind of a social norm where we want to appear growth mindset. And that just doesn't exist over there.
Yeah.
At least that's what we're seeing.
Yeah. So those three questions you asked, they were from Carol Dweck. She is a psychologist. I think she's a psychologist. She might be a sociologist.
So, yeah, from Stanford University.
Yeah, so she's a researcher, has done some great work looking at social versus fixed mindsets, and she came up with those skills. Mm-hmm. But let's take a step back. Can you explain what the difference is between growth and fixed mindset?
For sure. For anyone that doesn't know yet, Carol Dweck, she kind of coined these terms, growth mindset, fixed mindset, because for a long time we've just been kind of talking vaguely about these ideas that are actually all very related and correlated. So a fixed mindset would be, for example, someone that really believes that that growth is limited, you know? Mm-hmm. Someone that believes that they're born with a certain amount of intellectual potential, a certain amount of physical potential. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just this idea that you can only get so good at anything, and then you're just kind of done.
Yeah.
And then on the other side of the spectrum, we have a growth mindset. Mm-hmm. Growth mindset is much more opportunistic. Mm-hmm. They're, I guess we could say they're maybe, you know, without overgeneralizing, you've got like kind of an optimistic side and then a realistic or pessimistic side on the other. So these are our optimists, people that, you know, don't define themselves by what they've done in the past or what they've seen other people do. Mm-hmm. They kind of see opportunities for growth around them, and this is growth, you know, fundamentally, like they believe that they can get smarter than they have been or than they are. Mm-hmm. Which is something that's really hard to teach. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of an innate principle, but we can influence them, which is cool.
Yeah, there's research that came out of BYU recently. I think it was the strategy professors that did this research. I wish I had the document in front of me. It's recent research that looked at fixed versus growth mindsets. I believe their conclusion was that if you get couples working together, kind of as a family level, it's better at helping move from a fixed to a growth mindset. I think that's what one of their main findings was. And that was, if I remember correctly, that was sort of the impetus for me thinking, hey, we need to have this in one of our interventions, have couples taking the training together to help move that fixed mindset to more of a growth mindset.
Right. And even though that's not necessarily our key outcome, right? We're looking at revenue specifically. This could be potentially another outcome, you know, if we repeat the survey at the end of the study and we see some significant differences in where these participants are falling on mindset, that's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, moving the pendulum is a big deal when it comes to mindset.
Yeah, it really is. It's interesting thinking about couples. So my wife of 18 years, we're both very different in a lot of things, right? Like I'm a lot more of a risk taker in some things. But when it comes to growth mindset, she's a total cheerleader. She like cheers on my boys, and she regularly tells my boys, you can do anything you want. Like you can do anything you set your heart to, right? Is what she tells them. Every once in a while I'll say, no, they can't. They couldn't go run a mile in 4 minutes. Like some runners that are genetically different than my boys, right?
Sure. and I do that crushing reality.
I know, I deliver the crushing blows to my boys. But my wife is really of the mindset that you can do anything you set your heart to, and I love that. And it's something, as a companionship, we grow together, and she helps me be more of a cheerleader too. So that growth mindset, I think, is important for people, and we're hoping to help Cambodians in Siem Reap, these small businesses that are not like that now, become that a little bit more.
Dang.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're super excited about all of that.
Yeah.
As far as our research goes. However, we're going to be doing some other stuff in Cambodia in addition to the research.
We are. Of the things we have planned, what's the thing that you're most excited for, Christian?
I've got to say, I can't wait to see the Angkor Wat.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it before, just for our listeners out there, go ahead and do yourself a favor. Look up some pictures of the Angkor Wat. Mm-hmm. It's actually the world's biggest religious monument, which is crazy. And it is, from what I've seen, enormous. So I'm really excited to see that firsthand. I've read a lot about it.
It's enormous. And unlike most other historical UNICEF, cultural ruin type places around the world, you can actually walk up the steps of the temple and like walk through some of the rooms, and you can walk through the temple. Unlike if you go to Chichen Itza in Mexico, amazing, wonderful place to go visit, but they don't let you go on top of any of the structures because they're worried they're going to corrode and decay with time. When I went to Angkor Wat last, it was probably 8 years ago now, 7 to 8 years ago. At that time, they let us walk all over the temple. I'm pretty sure they still do, which is really cool that you get to walk through the temples.
Yeah, such a hands-on experience.
Very hands-on.
I'm extremely excited for that.
Yeah. Some other things that we're going to do. What am I most excited about? So I've done that before already. The thing I'm probably most excited for, and this sounds really geeky, but the floating village.
Oh,
so
yeah.
On the Tonle Sap is a big lake kind of in the middle of Cambodia. It's one of the few, if the only, I think I've seen that it's the only, but I sometimes question that source. It has a river that flows into it that reverses directions based on seasonality.
Right. Which, monsoon season, the lake overflows.
And so the river flows back out. It's crazy. So because of that, it's a weird geological phenomenon. But on top of that, a lot of poor people actually live on the lake in a floating village. And the village actually does float and actually moves. And so, yeah, we're going to go out on a boat and we get to tour the floating village. It's a tourist thing to go and see how people are living over the water. Kind of a cool thing to see. But I really want to get to see what small businesses are doing in the floating villages. So we're going to go and talk to some micro entrepreneurs in the floating village and get a feel for what challenges they're facing, how humanitarian work might be able to help them in the future. And we're going to kind of report and dialogue that as well while we're there.
Yeah, we're actually planning on hopefully recording a couple, at least one or two interviews from that area.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for a future podcast coming to Inside the Cambodia Project, where we might feature one or two of those conversations from the Tonle Sap.
Totally. So, Christian, what are some other things you're excited for that we're going to do there, more culturally or fun things?
Well, this is also geeky, but we're planning on doing some Cambodian cooking. We're going to take a cooking class. So I'm about to polish my chef hat.
Yes.
But that should be really fun.
And that's going to be fun because it's, so you can do cooking classes that most of them are in restaurants. This is going to be in someone's home that actually invites people into the home, and we're going to be cooking in a Cambodia person's home, which would be kind of cool.
That's so cool.
We get to see how they live a little bit more than if we were just in a restaurant.
Yeah, I think if there's one thing I've learned from, I've had so many conversations about culture with Bruce Money, with Scott Webb, just running the podcast, they all say similar things, which is you have to get outside yourself enough to really start to appreciate the culture. And I think that's what I'm most excited for, Ben, is just getting outside myself, kind of trying to let all my Western developed economy biases kind of fall to the wayside for a second, so I can really try to understand and appreciate what's going on in Cambodia.
One of the culture things, so our driver when we're there, Loy, amazing man. Hopefully, we're going to see if he'll want to do a podcast with us too. He lived through the Khmer Rouge, sad. So like he lost family members. He went out to one of the refugee camps on the Thai border. He saw that firsthand. But he was telling me, so when I was in Cambodia last time, he was telling me something that I would consider a cultural phenomenon. They wouldn't consider it that. But from a Western perspective, it's very different. Their homes are built elevated. Most of their homes, not most, a lot of the homes are built kind of up on sticks, right? They elevate them. I always thought it was for flooding, like during the monsoon season. I asked him that, is it because of flooding? He's like, no, it's not because of flooding. He says, it makes our space more usable. Because in the heat of the summer, you can go down there, you can hang up your hammock, and it gets cross breezes that you wouldn't have in your home. And it still has shade. So it's actually a cooler, the coolest part of the house is beneath it. And he says, neighbors will get together all the time, hang out in their hammocks, and just talk in the evenings. And I thought, that's wonderful. That's so different than Americans. One of my, a good friend from Pennsylvania, Stefan Weitz, sorry. He is from Belgium, and he's lived all around Europe. And he told me one thing he was really surprised about is Americans have beautiful yards, but they never use them. They're never outside. They're always in like their air-conditioned homes. He's like, they're not out mingling and talking. And that's something that I love about the Cambodians is they just mingle, they talk, they socialize. Something that we can learn from them, and hopefully we'll get to see that a little bit while we're there.
Yeah. I will say, one of my biggest regrets is that I don't speak their language.
So I know, me too.
Unfortunately, I won't be doing too much mingling.
That's true.
At least with the Cambodians. Yeah. But I'll do my best.
Another fun thing that we're going to do, if you get a chance to go to Cambodia, you can visit Battambang. We're going to spend a day and a half in Battambang to follow up on that pre-study that you helped launch. And they have a bamboo train. So they actually have these like portable, these small little train system things. They really have two axles with wheels on them that they put down. And they put a bamboo platform on top of that. And they have an engine that turns the back rotor, the back axle, and it just goes down the train. And this is the train tracks that are used by their actual trains. And so if you see a train, they stop it and you have to jump off and take off the bamboo thing and the axles quickly before the train comes and runs you over.
What?
So we get to do that.
Oh man.
Yeah, we're going to go
sure
see.
I'm sure BYU Risk Management is going to love that.
Yeah,
one.
Don't tell BYU. We're going to go see this big bat cave in a Buddhist temple ground area. There's a cave where they say about 1 million bats live, and they leave every night at dawn. Or is it dusk?
Dusk.
They leave probably. At dusk. At nighttime. Yes, dusk. They leave at the same time. It's cool. You see a stream of bats coming out. So we got to see that while we're there. We're going to go see a beautiful waterfall and do a little hike.
Yeah, sounds like we have plenty to look forward to.
Plenty to look forward to. Yep. Cambodia is amazing. I'm excited to take you there.
Yeah. I have one last question for you, Ben, before we close.
Yeah.
And that's, I know there's been a lot of preparation going into this trip. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a simple task getting research running in a foreign country, let alone in your home country.
Yeah.
And a really important facet of international research is making sure you have partners on the ground so that they can keep the work moving forward when you're not there.
Yeah.
What has it been like, you know, finding partners, good partners for our research in Cambodia?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there's a lot of nonprofit work that's done in Cambodia. And when I was out in Cambodia a month and a half ago or so, I met with a lot of good partners, and we may still hire some of their staff, but I realized if you want good English speakers, and they don't have to speak good English. We're happy to get we're going to give them trainings next week, right? To our trainers who are then going to give that same training to the businesses. We're going to give our training in English because we don't speak Khmer. And I'm sure we're going to have some of our staff members, our partners there on the ground that only speak Khmer. And so we're going to have it translated when we're giving it. And that's fine. That's great. I want to give jobs to anyone that we can. But it's been really hard to find people in Cambodia. I'm glad that you brought it up. It's one of the difficult moving parts that we have to work through. It's difficult because a lot of the established nonprofits pay their people very, very well, like almost American wages in a country where cost of living is 1/10 what it is in America.
Wow.
And so research funding wise, I couldn't go in there and just hire all these staff members from our partner NGOs because they're so expensive. So instead we're leaning on those partner NGOs for advice and help, on the ground support systems,
moral support,
helping us find people that we can hire. But there's a lot of good young people in the CM REAP that I've been put in touch with that we're hiring for this project. We're going to have five different staff members we're hiring that live in CM REAP. One of them is going to be a project evaluator, so they're kind of going to stay at arm's length. I'm going to make sure it's someone that doesn't know the other four people well, at least.
Okay.
And they aren't going to do any of the actual training. They're going to do the observing and make sure the training is going the way that it's supposed to. They're going to be the ones that are auditing the surveys that we have going along to make sure that the surveys are filled out correctly. And they're kind of just a quality check. So we're going to have that person. And then we're going to have four trainers that do the actual training and do follow-up and support for the businesses.
And you said with 240 businesses, right?
240 businesses, yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, they're going to be these. We're hiring them for 7 months. They're going to be really busy for the 7 months, keeping up with the 240 businesses.
I bet. Yeah, that's going to be a lot of work.
Yep.
Well, cool, Ben. Thanks so much for, agreeing to do this last episode. We wanted to use this episode kind of as a way to transition into a summer hiatus because,
that's right, yeah.
Unfortunately, after this trip, we are parting ways for a couple months. I'm going off to Idaho for my marketing internship. And so we decided to give our listeners a rest, a small break to enjoy their summer as well as we just left.
Thank you, Mom, for listening to this podcast so faithfully, but you can take a break over the summer.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're just going to let the research continue on in Cambodia, and we will continue to work remotely here in the United States for the rest of the summer. But don't think that this is the end because it's not. After a brief hiatus this summer, we're planning on returning with season 2 of Inside the Cambodia Project. And that's going to feature many interviews from our time in Cambodia, where we're going to be for the next 2 weeks. So definitely stay tuned for updates with that.
Yeah. Great interviews, a firsthand experience from someone that lived through the Khmer Rouge. He's willing to share his stories. We're going to have business owners. We're going to have NGO leaders, lots of great people that you'll be able to hear from in the podcast next September.
Yeah. So once again, thank you so much for listening. If you're someone that's been with us since the beginning, thank you for your loyalty. And if you're new to the podcast, we'll be back soon. But until the fall, just one more reminder for all of our listeners out there. Remember that you have potential to make a difference. Whether or not you're traveling the world or you're in your own community, you really can change the lives of those around you. And so, as always, remember to lift where you stand.